know what to do after the beeparoni.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Special. We take your calls 555. And now, here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Tara and Dave.
Hello.
Hello, listeners. Thank you so much for being with us. We made it to the end of Melrose, and as promised, across two phone numbers, we are doing another call-in special. But before we get to your calls, texts, questions, and posers, an announcement, again with this episode 194. Wow. That drops June 7th. We will be watching Courtney Thorne-Smith in Jack's Place. What is that, you ask? It was a short-lived something that I picked out months ago. It is season 1, episode 4. It is on YouTube. We will link it in the show notes, but it is called Everything Old is New Again, much like the questions posed in this very episode. You can find that and all of the gazillion other episodes we've done at againwiththispodcast.com/club. We hope that you will join us.
We surely do. And now we want to get into your calls, and we want to note some of these date from when we were last going to do a call-in show back in December and had technical difficulties then too. This just means a few of you had the chance to call twice. We're thrilled that you did. We hope you will forgive the long gestation of this episode, but I think the results will make it all worthwhile. Let's get into it, shall we? We got more questions than anything else, so that's going to be our top chunk. Let's hear clip number one.
Hi, Tara, Sarah, and Dave. It's John Ramos, long time, many things, occasional guest, and ongoing fan. As we all start on this journey to close this very large circle, and based on your experiences with the two shows already covered on this podcast, I'm wondering this. As far as Dawson's Creek goes, and after years have passed, is there anything you are particularly dreading? Is there anything you're particularly looking forward to? And of most interest to me, is there anything you hated the first time around about which you suspect you'll feel differently now? Keep in mind, these feelings don't have to be limited to plot developments. You can include the appearance of particular actors, the fashion and hair of the time, even the music choices. We want to know your Dawson's Creek hopes, fears, and dreams. Thanks so much for all you do, and I'm guessing everyone else is excited as I am to revisit the show that started it all. Bye.
Thank you so much, John, our dear friend. I'll go first. We touched on a little bit of this, I think, in our first Dawson's Creek episode, where we regret some of the ways that we wrote, particularly about the female characters back in Dawson's Rap and Mighty Big TV and Television Without Pity Days. So that's a big one. That's a large umbrella, I think, over all of it. But I'll say that aside, I think I have a better understanding now that I've seen more of her work of what Michelle Williams was at least trying to do with this characterization, was not able to pull it off in this environment. I think I liked Joey more the first time. Now I think she's kind of a whiner. I think I like her less now. I say she's a whiner as I also whine with my cold voice. I think, though, we were probably always pro Bessie, and particularly later, we were pro Grams for sure. But overall, I think my reaction's not going to be that different. Even at 24, when the show premiered, I was already a crotchety old bag like I am now. So it may not be that much different. Sarah, what are your thoughts?
About the same. I definitely regret some of the things that I said about Michelle Williams's performance and about just everyone's physical appearance. Like, I really do think that the hair department tried to do something with Dawson that, because it was, you know, the turn of the millennium, tonsorially was destined to fail. Mm-hmm. I really can't say that I'm looking forward to any aspect of the McPhees. In season two, Andy's mental illness and her journey to psychotic fugue in the Jupiter jump, angry McPhee loving his non-dead gay son, and just anything Kerr Smith and his ill-gotten GLAAD award is not something I'm super psyched about. I do think that as much as I hated Gay Yoda the first time around, I'm going to be pretty excited for him to read old, what's his face, Jack? Was that his name? So yeah, I mean, and you know, you can't beat David Monahan's Toby eating an entire pink snowball at the prom, but yeah, the rest of the McPhees, no thanks.
Did you say gay Yoda?
Mm-hmm.
Gay Yoda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Annoying he was.
Yes.
Let's hear clip two.
Hi, Sarah. Hi, Tara and Dave. This is Sarah calling from St. Louis. I was thinking recently about the fact that the only quasi-rhyming zip code is 50210, which happens to be a town of 500 people called New Virginia in my home state of Iowa. It's about 40 minutes south of Des Moines. The young people of New Virginia attend a high school called I-35 Truro. Yes, it's named after the interstate. So I was thinking, what if the Fev Niners had done some sort of exchange program where they went to New Virginia and they spent a semester there? What would they bring to that community? And what might be something that they would take back with them and learn? So, for example, Dead Dot, being in the AV club, I would assume that, you know, the West Bev AV club had access to more cutting edge technology. And so maybe they opened up a whole new world for the AV club at I-35 Truro in New Virginia. Like, that's right when the internet was coming out. Maybe he introduced everybody to that. But also, maybe some of those kids that Dead got under their wing, the kids with the gun racks on their trucks and who spent their lives deer hunting and pheasant hunting, and maybe they taught Dead Scott some respect for firearms that he clearly didn't get from his family or what was it, his like uncle in Oklahoma or something like that. So of the other original Bev Niners, and I think we can exclude the Walshers from this because even though they're from the big city of Minneapolis, they do still have some like Midwestern sensibilities, to the extent that they have sensibilities. I was just wondering your thoughts on what that might look like and what they might bring to New Virginia and what they might take back with them back to West Bev. All right, that's it. Thanks, bye.
Thank you so much. This was really a thought-provoking or a thought exercise. This has nothing to do with anything. I'm just sharing to y'all that New Virginia is also only about 50 miles from Melrose, Iowa.
Oh.
Also in the frame, when I looked it up, were towns called Zero and Last Chance, which do it, Iowa. leave it all on the dance floor. Related to that, I am certainly sending Mr. David Silver out to New VA to teach all the cousins of the community how to freak. Because
Sarah,
he promised.
That
he
was
should.
My answer too.
I love it. I don't know what you had him learning. Do you want to cut the line and tell people what you had him learning?
Sure. I also went to a rural high school. It was not named after a highway. That's a very interesting detail. But I mm-hmm. think what I probably learned from my country classmates was how to throw a raging barn party, because that's all everyone was doing every fucking weekend. Whoever's parents were out of town, their barn was going to be where the party was at. So that's what I think they'd bring back to California. What was yours?
Well, in my experience, you are just dealing in Iowa and elsewhere in the Midwest with a different class of wind. Just out in the middle of the landmass, it is a more insistent, implacable thing that is happening with it, which I learned when I was crossing the country in a very small car that was basically a Skittle with a radio in it, wearing mid-90s hip-hop adjacent XXXXXL khakis and polo shirts out and about in the middle of Iowa is going to get your bony ass blown all the way to Villisca. So I'm hoping that he learns from this experience to wear clothing that is a little more tailored to his profile.
Mm.
A girl can dream. Excellent question, though.
Thank you. Let's hear clip three.
Heyo, this is Heather from Montana. Just a couple of notes and then ending with a question. First of all, I adore how you have continued with the jazz club, even it turning into a rock and roll club. And it makes me laugh every single time that you say it. And I'm so happy that you've continued this tradition. Also, you should know that now every time anyone in the world says short-lived or short-lived, I think of Sarah D. Bunting. So that'll follow me around for the rest of my life. I'm super excited that you're starting Dawson's Creek, my best friend. That's her favorite show, and so I'm getting her into your podcast. So look for a whole new follower / stalker coming very soon. But now that Melrose Place and 90210 have ended, you're leaving the Starverse. I just wonder, who is your favorite character in either of those shows? And like, who's your main credit character fave, but also who's your side character fave? And why? Because I think you have a lot of really good choices to choose from and a lot of really crappy choices to choose from. So anyway, keep on doing what you're doing. And I look forward to all the adventures we're going to have in Dawson's Creek. Bye.
First of all, I guess I have to take blame for the short live thing. That was me, not Sarah. That's my bugaboo. let's do our mains. We'll trade off mains and then we'll do sides. I was challenged by this one because I wanted to say Joe, possibly only because I loved her hair so much in her first season on the show. So beautiful, that bouncy mm-hmm. bob. But she really did a lot of dumb shit over the years. It's such a hack answer, and I'm sure it was my MVP on the finale. We recorded it a month ago, so I forget. But I gotta say, Amanda Woodward, she just was herself from the jump and stayed herself the whole way through. Tacky Kyle gifted necklaces aside, she just was the best always. So that's my pick. What's yours?
I also had Amanda in the event that you did not pick Brenda Wash.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, if I have to pick one of them, Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
Because for all the reasons that you said, and her just inimitable wearing of a miniskirt and no hose, and always looking amazing, and ending up with Peter, which was my dream. So
great point.
Who was your favorite Starverse side character?
Yeah, my favorite side character, I think I gotta go Jackie Taylor. They used her sparingly. Don't love that she, you know, went back to Mel so many times, but let's assume he had qualities that didn't make it on screen. On her own, she's a delight. Also a delight when we got to hear her interviewed on 90210 OMG, despite their efforts to flatten her. Anne Gillespie just seems like a really cool lady, and Jackie Taylor is, you know, perfect mom for a reason. So she's my pick. What's yours?
I mean, she had a microwave right in the headboard.
Yeah.
Icon. That said, and like, jokes aside, look, Chris Marchette did more for that show in my world off screen than he ever did on it. So I'm going to say Deshaun Hardell. Criminally underused, but still an all-time great.
Yep.
I wish they'd done more with him, but I'm grateful for what we got.
Yep, good pick. Let's hear clip 4.
Hi, this is Cynthia calling from Maryland. Can't believe I'm calling. Okay, so Melrose Place is ending. We're all very sad, I know, except desperately just wanted to end. Eliminating Peter and Michael and... what's his face? Who is the worst male character? Your choices are Ryan, Kyle, Billy, and Jake. Thanks.
Oh.
What's a Ryan? Just kidding. It was tempting to say Billy, and I will say as a side note, I do think that Jake's shittishness historically was underrated, at least by me, before we went through the whole show again.
Mm-hmm.
But someone pointed out on our Discord recently, and I really agree, that it all really went to shit for this show when Kyle showed up with his corny over-indicating and his marriage to fucking Taylor at Al. Plus, he dragged Ryan into everything. So, I mean, Kyle, of these, Kyle. Billy at least was like amusing to make fun of. Kyle, I just was so tired, and the show managed to make Rob Estes off-putting, like physically off-putting, ugly, bad hair dye. How? It's Rob Estes. He's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my pick. Tara?
Guess what? That's mine too. Kyle is toxic masculinity personified, like leaving aside the whole Taylor mm-hmm. issue. The sick shit that he got into, all of his addiction issues, all of his like slut-shaming Amanda, over their mm-hmm. own baby, like, you know, causing her to fall through a window. Like, he's just, he was a real bad guy that got to skate on a lot of shit for being an opening mm-hmm. credits cast member. So, Kyle's really terrible.
Yeah. Also, Jazz.
Also, Jazz! also jazz, never forget. All right, clip five.
Mm-hmm.
Hello again, Winthisters. This is Sarah from St. Louis. So I wanted to see, across Bev 9 and Melrose Place, who you think was the most mistreated credits cast character. So I was originally going to say Andrea or Sydney, but you can, you know, you can open up to other characters. Valerie, Doug Savant, shit, what's Matt? Cindy Walsh, I don't know, whoever you want to, the world is your crap oyster.
The world is our crap oyster. Thank you for that. The fact that she couldn't remember his name says it all. I mean, poor Oof. Matt, not only for the sexless life he led on the show, but like getting killed off screen for the plot purpose of his like amazing Romana Clay diary that like unlocked all of season seven's terrible plot lines. I gotta go Matt. That's a rough one. So that's my pick. What are your thoughts?
Sid was in the conversation for sure. The number of times that we had someone help Sydney in our notes was not a few. Mm-hmm. But it really was not close for me. And it is Valerie Malone. And by extension, Tiffany Thiessen, like, oh my God, figure out what this character's deal is. And if you have figured out that it's trauma, be fucking nicer to her. She should have thrown a turkey out the back door of Cassa Walsh in like her fourth episode.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we all had to go through the slough of despond with her for season upon season. Thank God she finally escaped.
Yep. Clip six.
Hi, Tara and Sarah. This is Jessie from Massachusetts. I'm calling to say congratulations on finishing Melrose Place, and thank you for putting yourselves through way too many goddamn seasons of that show for our entertainment. I have a couple of questions for you. My first is that now that the show's over, what is your favorite and least favorite pairing or like couple from the show? And what's one that didn't happen but you wish did? And my second question is, who's worse, Brandon, Billy, or Dawson? All right. Thank you so much. And stay mad, bad, and dame now. Bye.
Thank you so much, Jessie. Shall we go back and forth?
Yeah, let's
see. All right. Favorite pairing for me, Amanda and Peter forever. Tara?
I mean, you're not wrong when you say that Jake sort of turned into a shitty character, but I liked him with Joe at the time. So Jake and Joe is for me, is mine.
Least fave was a lot harder to pick, but winner and still fly trap champion, Allison and Billy. Girl, it's Billy. Tara?
It didn't last very long, but Michael and Amanda was a weird...
Oh, yeah.
...interlude for both of those characters that, like, I get it, and yet I didn't get it. So, especially when it happened during her cancer battle. Remember that?
Yeah.
Like, all of that was sort of snarled up together. So I was not a fan.
I was not either, but I am a fan of that choice. One that never happened that we wish had. Take a moment, bet with yourself on whether we picked the same one that, of course, they were never going to do because it was the 90s.
Uh-huh.
But mine is Kimberly and Sydney.
Oh, well, I said Joe and Allison, so we were on the same wavelength, but not exactly the same. Yeah. Kimberly and Sydney, I can see it too, for sure. That would have been fun.
Yep. Somewhere, our dear friend, Laura Layton archivist Anthony's head just exploded. Who is worse, Brandon, Billy, or Dawson? Billy is just kind of a dullard most of the time. Even when they were trying to do a heel turn for him, it was Andrew Shue, and it just didn't go.
Mm-hmm.
Dawson sucks, but in that precocious child way of sucking, it's not that Billy or Dawson is never repellently self-righteous, because for sure they are, but Brandon has weaponized punctiliousness and also has a shelf head, so my answer is Brandon.
My answer is Brandon as well, for many of the same reasons. I agree. Billy is just like kind of a gomer. Like, you can't really be that mad. I mean, we were, but in relative to the other two, he's way in the distance of annoying somehow. Dawson also sucks for in a lot of the same ways, actually, that Brandon does. Both of them are like, I'm a good guy. Listen to me tell you that I am. But at least Dawson, I mean, spoiler for whoever hasn't gotten there yet, ends up alone at the end of his show, as he should. And Brandon gets everything he wants. So that sucks. Brandon sucks. Brandon is my answer as well.
Mm-hmm.
We did it. All right. See, let's hear clip 7.
Hi, Sarah and Tara. Congrats on reaching the end of Melrose Place. It's been a journey, and thanks for bringing me along with you. I was listening to some older episodes from season 2 in Celebration and had forgotten that Rob Estes played Michael and Jane's friend Sam years before he was Kyle, and he and Jane even briefly dated. My question is, are there any former cast members or guest stars that you think would do a better job in a season 7 storyline? Like maybe Rhonda comes back as Megan. And the opposite question, is there a later series cast member you would send back to an earlier season to play a different character? Thanks.
I love this. Let's go back and forth with these two. So first of all, former star from earlier in the run that would be compelling in a season 7 storyline. I mean, he's introduced earlier than that, but Jonathan Penner, who played a Matt love interest for a hot second, future Survivor star, so cute, so charming. Have him play Kyle. I would have loved to see it. So that's my pick for former stars to bring back. What's yours?
Mine was Sydney's madam, Lauren, played by Christian Alfonso.
Uh-huh.
I didn't have like an actual extant storyline to put her in, mm-hmm. but I thought that she could spice up Megan's storyline. I mean, what wouldn't?
Yeah.
Like even a primary color top would have helped. But mm-hmm. anyway, something about like some indecent proposal that Megan considers going back to sex work for like a week with a giant payout so that she can help Ryan move Sarah to Los Angeles and then everything goes to hell. But like Christian Alfonso just has spark and flair that most of the season 7 cast did not. So like have her play an end table. I don't care. It's still going to improve things.
It's hilarious how much we are aligning on these because my answer for later series cast member we would send back to play a character in an earlier season, I don't credit Jamie Lunar with much, but I think she would have been pretty good as the madam.
I also selected Jamie Lunar, but I had her be Shelly, Jake's brother Jess's widow, who embezzled shooters from Jake.
Oh, yeah.
And then got arrested and we never saw her again, which was, let's face it, my motivation for parking Lunar in this place. But she was in 10 episodes.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm not going to go back and verify that. It seems like way too many episodes. But yes, yeah, send back Lunar for like a short run villainess from earlier seasons. And then we're done with Lunar because she could have done that and then she would have been gone.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear clip 8.
Hey, Tara, Sarah, and Dave. This is Adam P. And I always forget to say my name, so I'm starting with that. Thank you guys for doing another call-in show. I'm sure your many fans, including me, really appreciate it. I'm just wondering if Marcia Cross hadn't left the show in season 5, what storylines do you think Kimberly may have had over season 6 and 7? And what do you think she would have been up to in the finale of the series? I think her and Michael would have been endgame, and maybe she would have blown up most of the memorial somehow. But anyway, thank you all. The more podcasts I listen to, the more I appreciate how well your content is made. So maybe that's all Dave, but I'm going to say it's all. And just compared to everything out there, you guys are great. Thanks so much. Bye.
Thank you. And thank Dave. It really is all Dave. Just kidding. It's all Tara and Dave. I just stand where I'm told. If Marcia Cross hadn't left the show, I agree maybe about Endgame, but I kind of wanted to go to this surreal place where like she does help Peter and Amanda blow up the cabin at the end. And like, she's now a demolitions and explosive expert for reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it would be fun just for like a season and a half to have, much like that art collective was a runner throughout the show, that it would just be her like ripping wigs and full head and neck monster makeup off to reveal that she is actually inside various characters. Mm-hmm. So like Craig, the reason that his face is so immobile is that it's completely makeup and Marcia Cross is underneath as Craig. Terry, Ryan's sister-in-law, peels off the wig and there she is. Ryan himself, the pool guy in the courtyard B-roll. Marcia Cross in all of these roles all along.
Mm-hmm.
I know it makes no sense, but neither did the show continuing as long as it did.
Mm-hmm.
for, what was it, 78 episodes in season 7? So that is my answer, but she got out when the getting was good, and we have no choice but to, etc.
Yeah.
Tara, did you have an answer for this one?
I mean, I think if she had somehow been partnered with Michael, that his crooked medical clinic could have actually possibly worked. I mean, I think she could have figured out mm-hmm. how to make a go of it. I wouldn't be surprised mm-hmm. if the idea that they had for her was to start another competing ad agency, and that it would be her versus Amanda versus Lexi pursuing Tony Miller's business. But I actually agree that she got when the getting was good, but it would have been such a gag if instead of the door opening in Michael's last scene and Erica Eleniak being there to be his assistant from PT, if it was Kimberly. She never died.
Mm-hmm.
She's back. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, they get back together like no time has passed. And I think everyone would have screamed and loved it, no matter how many times she mm-hmm. had died by that point. You can always die again. It's Melrose Place. Let's hear clip 9.
Hi, this is Diana. I just wanted to thank you guys so much for being such a good recap podcast, because I listened to some of the ones done by like the actors in the shows. Not knowing that's who on OMG, I pay you guys for that. Thank you very much for taking that
girl
on. But even the ones that are somewhat better aren't really good at recapping. They're just better at kind of having behind the scenes stories. My question is basically, which were more painful to watch? The last few seasons of 90210 or the last few seasons of Melrose? I know there's going to be some recency bias in there, but I ducked out before the end of either show, so I can't speak. They both sounded very painful. So I was wondering what your thoughts were and opinions were on that. Again, thank you so much. Goodbye.
90210s were more wheel spinny and boring. At least Melrose's were not predictable because every plot choice was insane. So my answer is the last few seasons of 90210 were worse. What do you think?
I had the phrase recency bias in my notes. So excellent question and good thinking, Diana. I still think it's Melrose, though. Even though it didn't take as long, it felt just as long. Even though it was like the worthless number of seasons were fewer, they seemed to go on longer. And I think there were just fewer people. Like on 90210, you had mostly people left who were pitiable or actively despicable, and we despised them vocally every week. But Melrose, it was just like a bunch of flatlines, and Jonathan Taylor Thomas and that other lady and Jack Wagner. Like, what are we doing here? So even accounting for recency bias, I still think Melrose was worse. It was like a steeper decline, and then it wasn't even a decline. It was just like a flat line for years.
Yeah. We held off as long as we could. He's finally here. Let's hear clip 10.
Woo!
G'day, Tara, Sarah, and Dave. It's Anthony from Australia calling, though, for the final time for a Melrose Place call-in episode. Of course, I would like to say thank you to all of you, not only for another fantastic season of Melrose recaps, but also a fantastic series of recaps. You know, we made it to the end, 7,356 episodes later. Woohoo! You know, I'm pretty sure we all deserve lots of cheese and celebration. Now, with the series over, you know, we didn't get all of our endgame wants. Jake and Joe. But Peter and Amanda finally ending up together is a pretty big deal, even though the slog to get there was kind of tough. Also, with the show over, you know, it's left with some really concerning questions, such as, you know, did Kay Beacon Design survive after Jane left the business? What really happened to our series favorite, Chris Marchette, Megan's pimp Josh, and the circus tent size suits that Bobby Parisi wore? Also, just how is Billy coping with the native language in Italy? You know, I have visions of him walking into a coffee shop and just going, bippity boppity, my series MVP. And of course, I'm being 100% biased here, is Sydney Andrews, of course. You know, I couldn't call myself a noted Laura Leighton archivist if I didn't bestow that title upon her. Though if I'm being unbiased, I would probably give it to Brooke. but that purely for having the most impact of the somewhat limited time she was there. Now, before I go, I do have two quick questions for you. First off, I must know your thoughts on the Melrose Place reboot with Laura, Daphne and Heather that was announced recently. Personally, I wish they were all busy enough career-wise without having to do this, but I'll take anything just to get Laura back on my screen. And secondly, the big Melrose Place prop auction that happened after this show ended that was held through Amazon back, I think it was 99. What piece of clothing, wardrobe or prop would have you both liked to have bid on? Once again, thank you for keeping me and, of course, everyone else entertained through the past 7 seasons of Melrose Place. And here's to Dawson and his creek for the next 6 seasons. All right, I'm out of here. Bye.
I have an answer for this one, too.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Dave.
The tortilla stand-up from the ad agency?
Oh, yes. From the episode Dave sat in on. Yes.
That is excellent. So wonderful to hear from you. And our favorite, noted Laura Layton archivist by far. Thoughts on the second reboot? We got another comment on this via text saying that Zuniga, Layton, and Locklear are in. I heard Jack Wagner and Lisa Rinna want in. Who's dead? Who would we like to return? The kids of various characters would be in their mid-20s. Would it be a next generation of sorts? We didn't have a name on this comment, so we apologize. And please find us on the Discord to take credit. But I could totally see doing a like reboot hybrid style like they tried with Beverly Hills 90210. But as I said elsewhere this week, I think making it truly a limited series is key. And not trying to spin it off into Melrose, the new class. It's just my opinion, but I think what people want to see is these characters played by these actors. If they have to bring back people from the dead, fine. It's a soap. Just do it. But keep it to 6 episodes. Don't try to spin it out with like, we'll start with these characters that you love, and then they're going to peace out after 4 episodes, and now it's about these other actors you don't care about. No. It could also work if they do it as a more satirical comedy, the way Saved by the Bell did it a couple of years back, but I don't feel like that's going to be on the table with this group. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I can be optimistic. I'll be watching it either way. Tara, did you have thoughts on what this would look like?
Well, I think Dave has thoughts. He moved the mic, so.
He moved the mic. Dave wants to talk. When you have a show like 90210, the reboot show, you're basically creating two halves of a show that nobody wants to watch, or, or like a big chunk of your market doesn't want to watch. If you were there for 90s, you know, 90210, you don't care about the kids. And if for some reason you're tuning in and you care about the 16 to 20 year olds that are in the show, you don't give a shit about their moms and dads. So why bother with that premise? Like we talked about this super briefly in ESG and I sort of tagged it as a next generation show, but I didn't mean that in the Star Trek sense because they did it right, which is like, like here is a whole new cast and they're just doing Star Trek shit. That's one approach. But I think this one should be, here's everybody from Melrose Place and they are now whatever in their late 50s or however old they would be, I guess.
Yeah.
And their kids are in their 20s, but they are not the main characters. They are just set dressing for the stunted development characters that we knew in the original series. They did not really progress too much now. They're kind of the same characters, they're just older, doing all the same shit. That feels like the formula they should be pegging for, because otherwise, why are you redoing this TV show? It's not like 7 Up, 14 Up, 21 Up. We don't really care to see how they've progressed. What we want is a trip down nostalgia lane with new episodes. More of the same.
Series finale has a mystery, technically, that you can use that as the springboard for a limited, like Dave and I said, series of maybe 6 episodes. Better at 4. 6 episodes where it's like everyone's trying to figure out what actually happened to Peter and Amanda. And there's a road trip and they go to Hawaii. Who knows? Tara, your thoughts.
Well, I'll just add the rest of our no-name texter's comment was they write, my bet is that it's Jake's funeral. If Layton's Sydney is back from the dead, then I'd love to see Marsha Cross back. I could see Amanda rounding a corner and running into Kimberly and then say, Sydney's back from the dead. Now you? Sure, why not? And it's true. Like, if they're going to do this.
Agree.
I think they should go balls out. Like, just none of the continuity matters. Then none of the continuity matters. Bring back all of the fan favorites. It doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to link up to the end of the original series, because no one probably who would be watching now, like, even remembers how it ends. Dave.
Melrose Place Multiverse.
Sure, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I'm here for it either way, like Sarah said. I agree with Anthony that I wish the three ladies could have come up with like a new soap or a sitcom to do together, because there's going to be so much pressure and expectations on whatever this ends up being that you know, they tried it once and it flopped. Like, now they're trying again. Like, everyone is going to be expecting this to flop too. But I do think it's like a very fun idea to like put it on Lifetime, have all of the characters be like the actors' actual ages.
Mm-hmm.
Like Dave said, they had stunted development. They, you know, we don't assume that they are wiser just because they're older. Let them be as messy as senior home residents as they were in the complex.
Or if you really want to swing for the fences, do a Pen 15, which is it picks up the next week after Melrose ended, and it's just them playing their 30-year-old somethings.
Ah, yes, that's very funny.
Yes.
All right, the prop auction. Dave already said he would get the tortilla standy, and God bless. Sarah, what would you be bidding on?
Oh, boy. Well, a menu from the Halfway Cafe would be tempting. Any Shooter's Zianna. I do have a Shooter's tank top. It cost more than it should have. I regret nothing. I get comments on it every time I wear it out of the house. But if I have to confine myself to one thing, it's the lot of Matt's various political t-shirts from the first couple of seasons. Because I think they were really good and kind of flew under the radar.
Yep.
But there's no like carousel horse from the living room, one thing that I absolutely need. Dave?
Was it established on the show that Ojai Place was something created for the show, or is that like a real restaurant out there?
Ojai Grill?
Ojai Grill, thank you.
That's what it's called, and it's established that that's the location they're buying. I don't know if it's a real place.
Right. Okay, well, I want the sign.
That font was amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, I made the shirt. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's still available, but I would love the actual back form sign that they put up there for the show.
For sure.
For sure.
I would like to get Taylor's Tina Turner dress just to put it under glass. Or possibly if I wore it, because she's so tall, it might be the right length on me and not look like a leotard, but probably not. Megan's embellished cardigan's also appealing for old lady me. But
yep, love it.
The obvious answer for this is I need Bobby's oil painting of Amanda
my life. Yes. Forgot.
And if you know where it is right now, tell me, because I want it. All right, our final question is kind of a big thinker. Let's hear clip 11.
Hi, Sarah and Tara and Dave. Three things. One is I wanted to thank you, as always, for being such a source of comfort in a crazy world. I can't tell you actually how many times I've listened to Donna Martin Graduates, etc., when I just need to pick me up. So thank you for that. Two is when I listen to you in the car, I just want you to know that my two-year-old has taken to, from the back seat, I hear a little ooh and so thank you for teaching him how to talk and feel. Three is kind of the meat of this. So I am turning 40 in a week, and I was too young to be watching Melrose Place in real time, but I did because I was the youngest and my parents didn't really care what I did. And I remember at age 9, like, thinking that Billy and Allison getting together was like a really satisfying love story. Like, I remember, but like my older sister thought so too. And like, I remember at the end of season one, you know, when she's standing in that chambray shirt and she grabs his red button down and pulls him in for the kiss, like, we all screamed. Like, it was a really, really big deal. And of course, in watching back and in listening to you guys, like, they were the derpiest couple ever. Like, but the first time they slept together, that mattered. Am I crazy, I guess, is the question. Or, I don't know, like, did they matter? Anyway, thank you for all you do. And yeah, do they?
Yeah, they mattered. I mean, the fact that you still remember what they were wearing in that scene and remember how it felt to watch it, like, this is truly what we, you know, we used to be a proper country. We used to have shows that we all watched together at the same ass time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a joy to be part of, like, these cultural moments. Like, even, you know, yes, now, of course, with the benefit of hindsight and a more critical eye and whatever, you're right. They are derpy. Perfect way to describe them.
Mm-hmm.
But of course they mattered. And this is what we've lost in our era. Like, there isn't anything like that. I can't think of a show that's on right now that everyone would get so excited about, like a couple getting together that you've been like watching and enjoying their chemistry. It was real in a way, like, you know, they were dating in actuality. So yes, of course they mattered. I say, what do you think, Sarah?
I agree. And as someone who was quite a bit older when they finally got together, it was really satisfying. The groundwork had been laid for it. They both kind of been through it. It was like kind of a completely different show from what it turned into even three episodes after that in mm-hmm. season two or whatever. But like when they got together, it did seem like, okay, the television order has been restored in the universe. So it was not just you. And Tara's right. Like, with the benefit of hindsight and the other 17 million episodes that came after it, okay, does that look great? No. Was everyone their best selves? No. Did the 90s understand how to deal with the issues facing Allison? Definitely no. But, you know, they did know initially how to make a show that was going to get those reactions from viewers individually and experiencing it communally. Like, I can describe what people next to me on the couch were wearing when Kimberly ripped her wig off. So, yes, your response was, like, feelings aren't right or wrong, but your response was correct and true. And happy birthday.
Yes, happy birthday. All right. Other than questions, we got some suggestions. These are a lot of pitches for again with this topics that we are invited to do. Let's hear clip 12.
So this is Heather, and I am calling because after getting all dolled up, including bought on eye makeup, if I do say so myself, my happy hour friend canceled at the very last minute. So instead, I am at home drinking wine and watching Lifetime movies, as one does. And I just stumbled upon one that I think you absolutely need to review for your Patreon bonus episodes. It's called Without Consent. It's from 1994, starring Jenny Garth, co-starring Johnny Galecki. I'm feeling all the feelings watching this because Jenny Garth is not the best actress, but she's also not terrible. And it's about her being a, quote, troubled teen in the 90s and being sent to some sort of, like, tough love rehab facility. And, like, knowing what we know now with Paris Hilton coming out and everyone coming out about the horrible abuses that went on at this place, it's, like, laughable, this movie, but also, like, actually kind of disturbing. I'm very torn. That may also be because I got ditched last minute on a Friday night and in the home by myself. There's a lot of emotions happening. However, may I just politely respectfully request, yep, that's the one, that you maybe cover this because I'm super, super curious as to your opinions on it. Okay, hope you're having a less interesting night than I'm having and hope to, you know, hear your review soon. Bye.
Thank you so much, Heather. And it will gratify you to know that we have a huge master list containing, frankly, mostly Lifetime, like true crimey, based on a black book with red writing on it. List Without Consent, aka Trapped and Deceived, has been on it for a while. Mm-hmm. And I keep feeling like, oh, well, maybe I'll pick it. But then I don't want to like commit to prepping a 93 minute, whatever the hell. But trust that we know that it's out there, and thank you for resurfacing it with the like more relevant contemporary reference with Paris Hilton. We will get to it eventually. This list is like crazy long.
It's really long.
Shando alone was in like 15 of these motherfuckers.
So, it's true.
But thank you. We will get to it.
This one was an ABC Sunday night movie originally in 1994. Mm. Like a lot of these sort of women in peril movies, Lifetime scooped mm-hmm. them up for re-airing as they do. for some reason, Peacock has a ton of Jenny Garth like movies of the week that she did. And this is one of them. It's on my watch list currently on Peacock.
Right.
So yeah, the odds that we were getting to this sooner than later are pretty good.
Yep.
Few more recommendations via text. This one, also no name. They write, again with the suggestion, when you're ready for more Jason Priestley, my name is Earl, season 4, episode 10. He wears 3 popped collars. I love the brevity of this text. That's kind of like, yep, I got a picture. Thank you. That's all the information I need. Good job. A no name.
Yeah. And no name definitely like could sense us getting to the my name is part of being like, eh, and then threw in the 3 pop collars. Mm-hmm. You know your audience, and that's important. Another suggestion from Laura via text. Hi, I discovered your podcast after I read your 90210 book. Hey, you're the one. Thanks, man. And have been bouncing around between 90210 and Melrose Place episodes. Have you ever watched Cool as Ice, ma'am? It is definitely as terrible as it sounds. It does have John Hames, Newton, a.k.a. Ryan McBride in it, as well as the titular Vanilla Ice. Enjoy, Wow, Laura, that's so much information, and I both craved it and did not want it, but we'll throw it on the list. I mean, are we going to remember who Ryan even is by the time we get around to it? Who can say?
It is currently streaming on Freevee, I can report. God, Naomi Campbell is in this too.
All right, put it in the hoppa.
And so are Kristen Minter and Deezer D, both from ER. Wow, this cast. Oh my God. Okay, yeah, we really probably should
let's
do this.
Drop the hero and get with the zero, who is Ryan.
That's right. Another anonymous text. Never been kissed. Has Cress Williams and Jessica Alba, maybe for an extra. P.S. and David Arquette. Holy shit, that's... That's a good, rich list. Thank you to our second anonymous texter.
Mm-hmm. Deshaun, Diesel, and Baby Death Ray, or Baby Death Ray's mom. Great.
Finally, let's close out with some comments, starting with clip 16.
Hi there. This is Charlotte, longtime fan and listener. I just finished the 3rd episode of Dawson's Creek, and I've said before how excited I am that you're finally covering this, but the episode I look forward to you covering far, far into the future is the season 5 episode where Joey sings to her mugger. I believe it's called, because it sticks in my head, rent-free, unfortunately, Downtown Crossing. It is much like the third season episode of Beverly Hills 90210, the Christmas episode. It is one of the worst things to ever happen on television, and I cannot wait for you guys to cover it. I do think the ending was edited because I clearly remember, unless it's just some fever dream of the whole thing, but I remember Joey and her mugger singing a Carpenter song together, and I think they've somehow edited that out, but it doesn't make the episode any better. But I cannot wait for you guys to cover it. I just had to say that. I love what you guys do. I'm about to listen to the January episode of Again With Them. It's always fun. So keep it up.
Thanks, Charlotte. Actually, both of those episodes, It's a Totally Happening Life and Downtown Crossing, are, I believe, in the Extra Hot Great No Knack. We will link in the show notes to the Extra Hot Great episode in which Downtown Crossing was bemoaned. It got in, right?
I don't think so.
I just checked the list preemptively. Yeah, it got in. It's from 2014. So when we talked about it.
Wow. It is wild because that's one of the things that everybody does remember about the episode is that they were singing Close to You, I think, and that they cut it out and it's still that stinky is really something. But we'll have several years to gird our loins for that. And thank you for the kind words, Charlotte. We appreciate them.
Let's hear clip 17.
Hi there. My name is Lisa. I'm calling from Minnesota and I am a 3rd time caller. Second time actually leaving a voicemail because I'm waiting for the beeparoonie. I have 3 things to comment on. 2 are old and 1 is relatively recent. Number 1, I still can't believe anybody listens to that 90210 OMG garbage. I don't think you get paid enough to do that. Of course, every time I hear the name Sugarman, I think about Sugarman eating salmon in her bed. Number two, I rarely re-listen to some of the audio clips in the Let's Watch, but that Brian Austin Green Costly Affair movie, I had to look up the episode, it's 147. Don't even ask me how many times I've rewound the scene where he's talking about the letter opener. It's one of the funniest damn things I've heard in a long time. Number three, I'm a bit ahead with my Dawson Creek rewatch, and that's only because I'm working on improving my eye roll to Joey's standard. I'm pretty good. I'm not as good as her. So I have to mention this before I forget. This damn show is such a time capsule of what no longer works on TV. Frankly, some of this stuff I totally forgot about, and some of these scenes are so cringeworthy when I see it again. Here's a couple of examples. A, the hurricane episode, with Pacey relentlessly nagging Doug on being gay. In the words of Sarah D. Bunting, who cares? I know this continues to happen in this show, but this really stood out to me. And B, in the baby episode, this asshole Pacey really gets around town for a kid who is walking. Because the last time I remember seeing his bike was at the video store a few episodes ago. So he gets to school. He goes to the docks, the pier, whatever. Then he goes to Tamara's house. Then he goes back to the docks and Doug is there. Then he goes to a school board meeting. Then he goes to, quote unquote, Sammy's house and walks on the beach until dark. Then he goes back and walks by Tamara's house again. What the hell? How does this kid get around so quickly all in one episode? So those are just my comments. Keep up the good work. It's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Lisa, thank you. I hope you were satisfied by our comments on that episode with the 97-hour day that they go through when Tamara finally gets caught out. Oh, the continuity.
Yeah, there's some Tesseract shit happening in the Outer Cape, I would say.
Mm-hmm. But yes, it is a time capsule. They did not expect people to pay that close attention back then, and I'm sure we didn't.
Yeah.
Let's hear clip 18.
Hey guys, it's Reva from Irvine, California, frequent Discord poster. I have 3 to 4 questions or comments. I'm going to try to make this as quick as possible. Number one, when is your very special Melrose Place book coming out? I would pre-order the shit out of it. I'm assuming the 90210 book was a result of the podcast, so I am just waiting for the Melrose Place book. Number two, does Story Selling think that oversharing about how she can't take a shit by herself will bring Brian Austin Green running back into her arms? Because that seems to be her end goal in life, since she cannot distinguish between herself and Donna Martin. And then finally, has there ever been a series other than Melrose Place that has mailed it in on the last season worse or harder or whatever, because this season has been fucking unbearable, and I cannot think of another show that has done it quite this poorly. And then also, please do center stage for bonus episode. Thanks, love you guys, bye!
Way to be, Reva. You did it. I am friends with Reva on Goodreads, and Reva is an amazing book quitter, and we should all aspire. But speaking of books, I would write a Melrose Place book. I love writing books with Tara. It's the only way to do it, except when I'm writing one with Mark. So, you know, email Abrams or DM them on socials and tell them that you want us to write one. I think that's how that works, Tara.
Yeah, totally. I don't think there's, I think that our 90210 book was a fun curio, and that it might be a one and done situation for Abrams. We have not heard that they want to get us to do another book, but we would be game for it if anyone did.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if we're supposed to answer a question about Tori.
No, these
mess,
feel like more
literal
comments
and figurative.
Yeah, I think we can just agree. We don't know
yes,
what's up with Tori,
I
and
think
it's
we
sad.
Did. Yeah, it is. I also concur that there is some bag end game happening deep in the lizard delusional recesses of her brain, and she really needs to expect better for herself and everyone around her. As far as a mailed in last season, as mailed in as Melrose, I mean, I feel like there are a whole bunch, especially in like nighttime soap land or like soap land generally. I feel like there's kind of a pitch that they exist at. And if you know that you're getting canceled, then you can sort of drive towards a big finale, which not that Beverly Hills 90210 did it well, but they tried to. But a lot of that last season did feel like, oh my God, just get to the fucking wedding before we all die of old age. But I can't think of a show that specifically was as aimless seeming and ended with such a just kind of, you know, mm-hmm. 1 hour series finale poot.
Yeah.
As Melrose. So that might be the worst of all time. Tara, any thoughts?
I'm sure I've seen worse, but, you know, they all flood out of my brain with Melrose still so fresh. Poor Lexi in her underwear in the tub for no reason. Soon to get covered in ashes. All right, finally, let's close it up with clip 19.
Hello, Tara Aranio, Sarah D. Bunting, and David T. Cole. This is Lydia. I was just calling with a real quick LOL. So a couple of days ago on my Spotify Wrapped popped up. And if you're not familiar with that, Spotify Wrapped is where it shows you a recap basically of your last year of listening. So, you know, what genres, what, you know, songs you've listened to the most, et cetera. And I wanted to say that it let me know that so far in 2023, I have listened to 137,238 minutes of Again With This podcast. So suffice it to say, I love you guys. And I just wanted to say, I just really appreciate what you do. You're so funny. I really just enjoy listening to you, obviously. I got y'all's book. I joined the Patreon. I got a t-shirt. I got an Ojai Grill t-shirt from the store. And I just enjoy supporting y'all because you really are a fun podcast to listen to. Just wanted to be brief and say how much I appreciated y'all. It's been fun being versions with you. I'm going to Nana clap myself on out of here. Bye now.
That's lovely. I so appreciate that you explained what Spotify Wrapped is on the assumption that we are old ladies and we don't know. I do know what Spotify Wrapped is, even though I don't use Spotify. But that's more minutes than I think I spent listening to myself this year. So thank mm-hmm. you. That's a huge commitment. And if you haven't already, check out our other podcasts because seems like you might enjoy them.
Yeah. Thank all of you for participating in this, for sticking with us over various phone numbers, for sticking yes. with us through the 1,412 episodes of season 7 of Melrose. And, you know, going back more than 10 years, right?
Something like that.
We've been paddling through the river of shit that is the Starverse. I lost control of that. But y'all are used to it by now. We really appreciate it. Couldn't and wouldn't do it without you.
We treasure you all. Thank you so much.
You better put in your diaphragm.
No!
Oh! All
right.
Why?